South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says when it comes to investigating missing person cases in South Dakota, we can do better. You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and I talked with Attorney General Marty Jackley in the SDPB studios in Sioux Falls. I asked him about missing and murdered Indigenous women, the Missing Persons Clearinghouse, and how this new tribal law enforcement training academy in North Dakota will intersect with investigations in South Dakota. Here's our conversation.
When you look at the problem, you just have to look at the numbers. So in South Dakota right now, we have 109 on the list. All of the 109 have loved ones. It might be, you know, siblings. It might be children. They have moms and dads. So it's a priority here in South Dakota. Of the 109, 68 are of Native American descent. The legislature did the right thing in giving the Attorney General's office a position to help organize, get the word out, build cases, and we're doing just that. We had a convention in Rapid City recently where we had good conversations on what we should do better. We're doing that. But when you look at the numbers, 109 is too many, and we've got to get those numbers down. Some of those are active investigations. They may result in charges. Others, you know, we have missing persons, so we don't have all the evidence we would need for a case. And sometimes we want to just give, you know, closure to loved ones to be able to give a proper ceremony, and we're working towards that. It's been a good program, but it's one person. And so that person's responsibility is to really work with existing resources. That's our local law enforcement, tribal officers, BIA, and she's doing a great job of that. And we're going to continue doing just that and prioritizing it.
Allison Morissette.
Yes.
What have you heard from her? Has she come to you and said, this is what we need, or this is what we need to do next?
We've had good conversations about resources. Yeah. Some of it is the opportunity to use DCI more often if we have leads, if we have information coming from the public. You know, and one of the best things I can do as Attorney General is ask the public for help. If you take an opportunity, look at the list of 109. Go on the Attorney General's website. If you have information that might be useful, we may be able to take that information, tie it into other information that we have, and make a discovery or build a case. The public, I've worked so many cases over the years as Attorney General where the public really was a key component of finding out more information.
Do you think that you are making progress in building trust? Because I know in our interviews over the years, one of the things that you've said is, you know, call us, call law enforcement. Rebuilding decades and centuries of people not trusting law enforcement to respond at all.
I think there's that need to continue to build that trust. I feel we're doing a great job of that in Indian Country. And a couple things that we're doing, we're having joint trainings. Since 2024, we've trained 29 tribal officers. And when they're in that training, they're not just training and becoming better officers to protect all of South Dakota, but they're working with deputy sheriffs, police officers, so that they've got relationships to reach out, to build that trust. And I think that's a good thing, and we need to keep doing that. And that's why the North Dakota announcement, I think, is a great announcement for the training. I, of course, am a strong voice that some of that training does still need to be in South Dakota. I think it's important, especially for Pine Ridge and Rosebud, given locality, and I think it's been something we've been doing here in South Dakota, and we're doing a great job of it, and hoping some of those resources come to us to be a good partner with North Dakota on the good things that are happening with that training.
All right, let's dive into that a little bit for people who have forgotten. So tribal police officers go to the Southwest for their training, and you've been working on bringing them into a program in Pierre in the law enforcement center there, and then we just heard the National Regional Law Enforcement Center will not be in Pierre. It will be in North Dakota. Help us understand a little bit about the nuances of that. And will people still be training in South Dakota, or will they be going to that North Dakota site?
Some of that's undetermined. If you historically look at South Dakota, we've always done a level of training, but not enough. And so over the years, there'll be one or two tribal officers in a graduating class of around 40. And in 2024, we felt this is our opportunity to expand that. So I worked with the governor then and we built a training class centered around, I called it Indian Country, that had a focus on tribal officers, but also a focus on those officers, deputy sheriffs, police officers that are in and around Indian Country, where they would come together and train. We did that. We trained 29 officers. And I'm of the belief, although I won't be Attorney General in January, that that needs to continue, that we need to still make that available, in part because some of these reservations are much closer to Pier than they are to Devil's Lake. But I look at the recent announcement. Certainly our federal officials were pushing hard to have that here in South Dakota, and it went to North Dakota, which is a good thing to have it in the Dakotas. It's still much closer than going to New Mexico, but I want to partner with North Dakota so that we can continue to do what we're doing in South Dakota, maybe expand on it and be a strong partner with them, especially for our reservations here in South Dakota. Some of the officers will go to Devil's Lake for training, which is a good thing. Gives more seats open for that training. We've always had challenges in South Dakota where we just don't have enough training available for all the officers we need. And I think this will help with that. But I want to continue to see tribal officers have the opportunity to do that in Pier. We do a great job. We want to have one of the strongest law enforcement trainings in the nation. When I was chairman of the AGs before, I brought all the AGs to Deadwood, South Dakota, and we had a component of that in our training because we have such strong training here in South Dakota.
One of the reasons we've talked about in the past for having this training is many of these South Dakota officers will work with tribal officers, and these tribal officers will work. These are their partners. They're going to see each other. So having them train together was a good thing.
It was a great thing.
Reduce the amount of that collegiality?
I don't feel it will, because, again, I'm a voice that, whether I'm AG or a voice in Washington, I want to see us partner with North Dakota. We do that in so many different ways with our forensic science testing. We have good partners up in North Dakota. We need to continue that partnership, but, you know, protect what we have in South Dakota and build on it.
Do they have the curriculum set up yet there?
Certainly this is a recent announcement. North Dakota, you know, has training. They'll build upon that. But I think there's probably more work on that curriculum, and I hope that we're a part of building that, because what we've done already starting in 2024 with that designated class, it's worked exceptionally well. I think it can be improved, and I think part of the process will be to improve upon that, see what we can do well here in South Dakota, continue that, and to build on that also.
What do we need? And again, I'm going to go back to, I think, 2016, the first Trump administration, where there was some progress on regional plans to address missing and murdered Indigenous people. Has the Trump administration, over the two terms, you know, with President Biden in the middle, perhaps continued by President Biden, made progress in this area from the infrastructure standpoint?
Speaking from South Dakota, because that's really the core of what I know, the answer is yes. You know, I work very well with our U.S. attorneys. Of course, Ron Parsons is current U.S. attorney, and it goes back to Randy Seiler and Brendan Johnson. We've always done a good job with that through the various administrations, kind of looking past political views, but looking on what we need to do to improve public safety in South Dakota, find missing and murdered individuals. I look back at the Aquash case that I personally prosecuted. I was handling it as U.S. attorney. There was a jurisdiction issue. The minute I became Attorney General, Brendan Johnson worked with me in getting that over. I cross-deputized federal prosecutors. Federal agents testified in a state courtroom. We do a good job of that in South Dakota. So during the various administrations, Republican and Democrat, we've done that here in South Dakota.
What needs to be done next?
It's certainly a look at the resources. The legislature is going to have to take a look at the one position
and state,
legislature and determine whether or not there could or should be an expansion of that. That'll be up to the next attorney general. We have the one position now. It's working well. You know, from a congressional standpoint, certainly with the DOJ, the BIA, I think there's more that can be done, and I'll be looking at that.
You did not ask for another position from the state legislature in this previous legislative term. Why not?
I did not, because I've had some challenges on funding the one position. We were blessed when St. Joseph helped with the funding on that, and I appreciate that. And so not even being able to get the funding, it would have been difficult for me to be successful in asking for another FTE. We're working through the funding aspect of it because it's important. But that was the reason why I didn't seek an additional position.
Feather alerts is something that we hear a lot about. Explain that to us and tell me what your position is there.
So feather alerts, like many other alerts, we have endangered persons alerts. We've combined all of that in South Dakota. I go back to, we have the 109 missing persons on the list. 68 of them are Native American. We've used the same criteria to be on the list, the same criteria on when public broadcasting and others do us a favor. When we have a missing person, the media has been the best partner we've had in getting that information out. And we've done that through the one endangered missing persons alerts. I'm certainly open to the idea of having separate alerts, but I also, if we're going to do that, I don't want it to hurt the existing alerts that we have. And I think it would be a similar criteria. We're very generous in that criteria where if somebody's missing, we'll make the decision right away to get the alerts out because we want to do everything we can because time is of the essence, especially when you have, you know, cold weather, other things that you know, make it time sensitive. And I like the alert system that we have. It works well in South Dakota, but if there's an opportunity with the one feather alert to have building upon that, I'm certainly open to those conversations.
How do you measure success? Because it would be great to say there was no one on that list because everyone had been found, rescued, or justice had been served upon their deaths. How do you measure success? What's progress for you?
It's difficult to measure it. You know, I measure it in looking at the cases that we do and build. You know, you look recently at McKenna Wendell's situation, 14-year-old girl, you know, missing, how law enforcement handled that. It's a tragic case, but it's success on her recovery and the work that we're doing to hold people responsible. Those are the type of cases that are important. And it starts with the alerts that go out. It starts with the public's input and the help that the public gives us. And then it's prosecuting and building a case and being successful with that case. Or there are those instances where we have recovered a lost individual, but haven't been able to build a case yet. And, of course, depending upon what the circumstances are, we have statute of limitations we might be working on. Of course, when it's murder, we don't have to deal with the statute of limitations. But if it is a murder situation, number one, we want to do a recovery for the family so that they can have peace and closure. But number two, we have a dangerous person out on the streets that we need to apprehend and address.
Yeah. Talk, you know, public safety announcement. Talk directly to people when someone is missing. How soon do I call? Who do I call? What information do you want to hear? It's a very stressful time.
We need it immediately. The best way to do it is 911 and get the local authorities involved. They know what to do at that point. They're going to gather some very basic information. I mean, we're going to want a photograph. We're going to want as much information if there's a vehicle involved, what that vehicle looks like. We are going to want to know what clothing they might have been wearing. We're going to want to know habits, where they might have gone, what they like to do. We're going to want to know locations because we might be looking for camera footage. So the more information we can have, and that's where our deputy sheriffs, our 911 dispatchers, our police officers, they're equipped to do that and ask the right questions. And then DCI is typically in charge of some of the alerts. We will get that out immediately, and then it's a team effort. I mean, you look, go back at the Wendell case, the 14-year-old missing girl that we found in Brookings. That's a textbook example of where these calls are so important, the alerts that go out. The more information, the better, and the sooner, the better.
Oh. Attorney General Marty Jackley stopped by SDPB's Sioux Falls studios. And that is our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.